tonight. Good to see all of you that are here. We see faces that we don't get to see except this time of year. And so it's a blessing to be in service with each one of you again. And I trust the Lord will touch your life and speak to your heart tonight. John's Gospel, chapter number 8 and verse number 9. When you find your place, if you're able to stand with us, I'd invite you to do so by standing tonight. We'll reverence the reading of the Word of God, and after we read the Scripture tonight, if you'll remain standing, we'll pray together, and then you might be seated after we pray. And I do ask you humbly and sincerely to pray the Lord would touch us and help us tonight, for without Him we can do nothing. The Bible said in John chapter 8 and verse number 9, And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. Let's bow for prayer. Dear Lord, I want to thank You for the privilege to pray, and I want to thank You, Lord, for the good day that You've given us, and Lord, I want to thank You for every blessing of life that You've shown toward us. You've been so good to us, Lord. I thank You for it. I appreciate, Lord, the temporal things of life. I thank You, Lord, for the blessings You've sent our way to make life a little more easy, Lord. I thank You for that. Our stay here, our pilgrimage, a little more comfortable. I appreciate, Lord, everything You've given us. I thank You most of all for the spiritual blessings You've given us. Most of all, for saving us, putting us in the family of God. Thank You for calling us to preach. Thank You for this open door. Thank You for Your mercy and grace. Thank You for, Lord, allowing us a safe trip tonight. Thank You, Lord, for the church You planted here and for this good pastor. Thank You for the Word of God that You preserve, and Lord, even unto this generation. And thank You for the portion You've directed our heart to. I pray now You'd have mercy on me and upon those that await My words, that I might say the things that You won't say tonight. May I be an instrument, Lord, a vessel, a voice that You can use for Your honor and for Your glory. I pray You'd strengthen my body and my voice. I pray You'd strengthen me in the inward man. I pray You'd give us that anointing and that touch and that liberty that no man is able to preach without tonight. For just a few moments, hide us in the cross. Let me lose sight of myself. And Lord, give me spiritual understanding and heavenly wisdom. And Lord, speak through me, Lord, the words that need to be spoken. And prepare our hearts to receive them. Give us hearing ears, receptive hearts, and obedient spirits. I pray tonight the Word will go forth in the power and demonstration of the Spirit of God, and may it find lodging in hearts and lives. Would You convict sinners of their need of You? Would You stir the saints? Would You, Lord, encourage the discouraged, strengthen the weak? Would You reprove those, Lord, that are out of the way tonight, and that, Lord, are going contrary to the will of God? I pray You'd have Your way in every heart and in every life. But above everything tonight, get honor and glory to Your high and holy name. Help us now for Jesus' sake, and we'll thank You and praise You for that You do, for we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank You for standing tonight. For the Lord tonight, as He would permit us, I want to preach from this text, if the Lord would help me, on when you're left alone. The Bible said that, and Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. Of course, we know this is a story of the woman taken in adultery, and the Pharisees and the scribes bring her to Jesus, wanting to know what He would say concerning her. They said, Moses commanded we should stone her, but what do you say? But before the story is over with, before the confrontation has come to an end, the Bible said this woman is left alone with Jesus standing there. And so, by the help of the Lord tonight, I want to preach on when you are left alone. When you're left alone. Let me say, first of all tonight, when you're left alone with God. Let me say tonight, it's not a bad situation to be left alone with God. As a matter of fact, I don't really think you can ever be saved, and I don't think you'll ever have spiritual victory in your life until you come alone or come apart with God. Amen.
I don't think it's possible. Man, we live in a busy world. We live in a world that's filled, where our time is constantly occupied, where there's something always reaching out for us and demanding that we give attention to it. I want to tell you, thank God, to be spiritual, to be saved, to be happy in this world, there must be some time alone with God.
Right.
Well, there must be. And I believe one of the reasons why that our forefathers, our folks that went on before us, that worshiped God in such a manner and had such power and influence with God, is they had time alone with God. When you're left alone with God. Now, there can be a multitude where you're at. There can be others praying in an altar where you're at. But you've got to get alone with God. By the way, may I say this to you tonight? Hey, God, did you know that one of the most dangerous places for a child to be in America tonight is in the womb of her mother? I mean, that child is subject, thank God, to be destroyed in the womb of her mother. And can I say to you tonight, it's come down to a time when one of the most dangerous places for folks to be when it comes to their soul is in a church. And more than a church, in an altar. Amen. Oh, hear me, friend. Because many are deceived there. Many are misled there. And somebody pats them on the shoulder and says, hold on. And somebody on the other side says, give up. But what you have to do in order to be saved and to touch God is to get beyond what everybody's saying. And you and God get along. Amen. I'm not against instructing sinners. I think we should. But I want to tell you, friend, thank God, they must hear from God. And the question, my friend, and the issue is not between me and them. It's between God and them. And they'll have to settle it with God. I can't settle it for them. I can't give them the answer. And I can't give them assurance. Somebody said, preacher, can you give me assurance? Well, if I could, thank God, what would you do when you got home and I was not there? If I could give you assurance and I died tonight, thank God, would you still have any assurance? Amen? Oh, if I give you assurance tonight, thank God, and you couldn't reach me by phone or by letter, I couldn't find me, thank God, in a week or two, what would you do with your assurance? I tell you, me, you won't have to have me, thank God, and He's available all the time, thank God. Amen? Every day of the week. I'm thankful for that tonight, aren't you? So I'm preaching tonight by the help of the Lord when you're left alone with God. I tell you, some good things can happen. When Jacob was left alone with God in Genesis 32, thank God, he got the blessing. Amen. He sent his, my friend, family, his two wives, his women servants, his 11 sons over the brook Jabbok. And the Bible said he was left alone. And when he was left alone, hey, God, had to contemplate facing Esau, had to contemplate the sins of his past. Hey, God, the things of bygone years. When he was left alone, the Bible said they wrestled with him. Amen. And before the day, thank God, finally come in full force. I'm thankful. His walk was changed. His name was changed. And he had got a blessing. And he named the place where he was at Peniel. For he said, I've seen God face to face. And my life has been preserved. And once you see God face to face, you can face your Esau's. And you can face whatever else that it is that comes in your life. Oh, hear me tonight. It's a good thing to be left alone with God. But may I say tonight, Daniel was left alone with God. Daniel chapter 10. Thank God, you read the story that Daniel's prayed 3 weeks. Thank God, mourned for 3 weeks. No pleasant bread. Thank God, our wine's coming to his mouth. He's seeking God. And finally, the vision comes. And the Bible said that a man comes to him and says he's been fighting with the prince of Persia. That his request and his prayer was heard from the first day that he began to pray, but he is was detained because he had to fight with the prince of Persia. But he was there now. And Daniel declared, thank God, he said, I was long alone and I saw the vision by myself. Hallelujah. Oh, hear me. There are some things that can come when we are left alone with the Lord. Amen. Thank God. My grandmother, of course, not here tonight. She's gone and in glory tonight. But I never forget her testifying time and time again. Thank God, as a 15-year-old girl out on the hillside of Sand Mountain, thank God, she had walked away from the Hamley house that day under conviction. And out there by herself, she met the Lord. And she came to the house telling it, oh, bless His name, and shouted, thank God, until she left this world. Because there is something that can take place in an individual's life when you're left alone with God. It was John that was left alone with God. John the Revelator. John the Beloved. Hallelujah. Thank God. Here he is above 90. Here he is an aged man. Here he is still preaching. And thank God for his testimony concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God they exiled him to an island called Patmos. I suppose they thought by exiling him that they would do away, thank God, with him once and for all. And it wouldn't take long out there in exile for him to go completely crazy. Thank God, or to die. Thank God, out there away from everybody else. But John began to write and say, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He is left alone with God and seen things that nobody else had ever seen. Hallelujah. Oh my. Thank God. As a matter of fact, he's seen Christ as nobody else had ever seen him. Hallelujah. Oh yes. And the revelation, thank God, is the unveiling of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
Woo! Hallelujah. Thank God. I come in as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. John himself, when he saw him, fell at his feet as dead. He that had laid on his bosom, he, thank God, that was the beloved disciple. When he saw him, I couldn't stand in his presence, but fell at his feet as dead. And that's exactly right. I'll tell you, walking close to God doesn't produce an arrogance. Walking close to God, amen, doesn't produce a militant spirit. Amen. That's exactly right. We're full of it in our churches tonight. Hey, God, if you didn't, my friend, hey, God, produce it. Hey, God, a holier than thou attitude. It does not produce it. Hey, God, that you have something that nobody else has had and makes you look down your spiritual nose at everybody else. Hey, friend, it'll make you fall at his feet as a dead man. Hallelujah. Oh, my. Are you hearing me tonight? So I want to say to you tonight, when you're left alone, hallelujah, some things can happen when you're left alone with God. Now, for just a moment, let's look at this text before we look at others and see this woman that was left alone with the Lord. She's taken in adultery. The Pharisees usher her to Jesus there at the treasury and the court of the women. And at the treasury, and Jesus is standing there and teaching, and they say to him, Master, here's a woman taken in the very act of adultery, and Moses' law commanded that we should stone her. But what sayest thou? Jesus didn't say anything. He just stooped down and with his finger began to write in the ground. And when they kept clamoring, and they kept complaining, and they kept saying, what sayest thou? He stood up and said, he that's without sin among you, let him cast the first stone. And every one of them that heard this thing, hey, God was convicted in their own conscience. Amen. And they walked out from the eldest to the least. Jesus had stooped down again and writing on the ground. And when he stood back up, our verse says to us tonight that he was left alone and the woman standing in the midst.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Oh, hear me. He said, woman, where are those thine accusers? Doth no man condemn thee? She said, no man, Lord. Oh, hear me. Thank God. I'm thankful when she was left alone, she recognized he was Lord. Oh, she said, no man, Lord. Thank God. I'm thankful for that, aren't you? Oh, bless His name. I tell you, folks get caught up in emotional movements. Folks get stirred because the crowd does something. But there's something about being in His presence and bowing to His Lordship and recognizing that He's the absolute ruler and sovereign of your life. Amen. Now I'm of this persuasion, take it or leave it. I don't believe anybody is saved until they come to the point and place in their life that He is the absolute sovereign or ruler of their life.
Amen.
And they may not at that point, thank God, have given everything. There may be times that they have to struggle with things down the road, but they become willing that time, that hour, that moment, thank God, to let Him be boss. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Oh, hear me. She recognized Him as Lord. And then I want to say, she not only recognized Him as Lord when she had left alone, there was some love displayed.
Yes, sir.
On His behalf. Hallelujah. Well, the Pharisees didn't love her. The scribes didn't love her. She was only, thank God, a means to an end.
Right.
Only a puppet or a pawn, how to be used, how to trick the Lord Jesus, how to find some fault in Him. Thank God, my friend, how to get their own agenda across. That was all it was about. Amen. Sad to say that multitudes and masses today in religion and in church are simply pawns and puppets used by individuals how to feather their own, hey God, glory, how to feather their own cap, hey God, hey friend, hey God, to pad their own pocket, amen. That's exactly right. Hallelujah. That crowd always want you to send a faith offering. That crowd always want you to send. That's something, thank God. And sow a seed of faith. Why don't they do it? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. God help. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, friend, I'm amazed at them. Thank God that don't want you to go to the doctor and don't want you to seek medical attention. Thank God that come to them and the first time they get a running nose, they're headed down to the hospital and to see if somebody can't help them. Hallelujah. Or to practice what you preach.
Amen.
Well, I'm just there tonight. And I'm not mad at nobody or picking on nobody. I'm just preaching as it comes tonight. That's where we're at. I tell you, there was no love for this woman. There was no love for the Savior. Thank God, hallelujah. Oh my. Oh, but the Lord displayed love that day. Hallelujah. Woman, where are those thine accusers? Doth no man condemn thee? Love was displayed. And she said, no man, Lord. And I want you to notice her load was lifted.
Amen.
Lord said, you're to die. Thank God. And He said, if you're going to cast a stone, you have to be without sin. Hallelujah. And when she was left alone with this man, he was the only man that day that could have cast a stone.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
He could have. He was without sin. The Bible said He was wholly harmless and separate from sinners. The Bible said He was in all points tempted as we are and yet without sin.
Amen.
If He's not tonight, then you might as well go to the house. I don't know where you're from, but go back, crawl under the covers tonight and thank God, put the pillow over your head. Thank God, and turn out the lights. It's over with. If He's not without sin.
Amen.
Because we were sinners and we had to have a Savior and He is the Savior. Hallelujah. Of sinners tonight. Hallelujah. There had to be a perfect lamb, a perfect sacrifice, and He was that. Hallelujah. Though He was found in the likeness of men, He was without sin, born of a virgin, sinless in His life. Oh, bless His name. Thank God. And my friend died, not because of his guilt, but died for us. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Thank God. And love was displayed that day. He had a right to stone her. He was without sin. He could have took her life. But He didn't come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. Oh my. And he said, neither do I condemn her. Oh, her load was lifted. Damnation was moved. Remember that blessed night when it moved from our life. Do you? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Problem today is we're trying to get folks to love the Lord. No reason to love Him. Hallelujah. You see, we have folks today that agree with historical facts and agree, thank God, with some Bible verses, thank God, and they've never been under load. They've never seen themselves condemned. They've never seen themselves standing on the broken commandments of God, my friend, and His wrath abiding on their life. Hey, friend, thank God, you can't offer a life ring to a man on dry land, but let a man in the sea drowning throw him out a lifeline, he'll reach for. We're trying to get folks to love God and to love Jesus and that have never seen they're condemned and lost and guilty and wicked before God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God. But if she knew the condemnation she was under, she stood there that day. I can see her probably wrapped in a sheet or a blanket or some cloth. Hallelujah. And my friend taken out of the bed of adultery right before the open crowd. This crowd didn't care about her. Hallelujah. And they didn't bother her. And a sheet that she has fixed up. But he clothed her in love that day and wrapped, thank God, his love around her and said, I don't condemn you either. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He could have.
Amen.
Amen. But he come to save her tonight. Come for us tonight. Then the liberty was extended to her. And no more. And, thank God. You don't have to live this way anymore. Woo! Hallelujah. What a blessing tonight. Hallelujah. Now, I'm amazed. I don't know if you have it in Georgia. I realize y'all are a step ahead of us in Alabama. Anyways, I want to say this tonight. In Alabama tonight, I'm in popular in our churches. It's overcoming classings, support groups.
Yes,
and, hallelujah. And the church ought to be a network of support.
Sure.
And it ought to be folks that have overcome, are
right.
Overcoming.
Right.
I'm telling you, friend, thank God, He will loose you from sin.
Right.
Saying to me, preacher, if I get saved, I'll never sin again. No, it's not what I'm saying, but I'm saying you have within you the victory, the power, the ability to overcome. And if we'll walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Somebody said, I've heard it. I've preached for years that you have to sin more or less every day. Well, if it's a question of more or less, it better be less on your part.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's right.
We're apt to sin, prone to sin, tempted to sin, and fall into sin. I'm telling you, friend, thank God, through the Lord Jesus Christ, thank God, there is something placed inside of us and us inside of Him that gives us the ability, thank God, to confess and repent and pick up and go again and overcome, hallelujah, the works of this flesh and live, thank God, with victory in our soul tonight.
Amen.
And yeah, that's like saying it takes grace plus a 12-step program to help you. Amen. I just believe grace is sufficient. I'm not talking about struggling with things. I'm not talking about being tempted. I'm telling you, God, I will do something for you. Hallelujah. And He places new desires and a holy hatred for sin. Hallelujah. God help us. I'm telling you, something good can happen when you're left alone with God. I want to say a couple of things and I'm through tonight. I want to say how when you're left alone with God, look what happens to this woman. And she walks away. Hey, God, liberty. Hey, God, my friend, have the load lifted. Love been shown to her. And she recognizes the Lord. And that she ought to give allegiance to. Amen. Tonight, when you're left alone with God, some good things can happen when you're left alone by others. And worse than anything else, simply to be left alone. Years ago, this has been years ago, was in a meeting, what we call camp meeting, or a Bible conference. This preacher was in this meeting. And there were some doctrinal differences
out to the meeting among the men that put them here.
And I said, and he said it was a terrible week.
Till the week was over, then I was talking to him, and I said, why?
Did they insult you? Get up and preach to you and try to straighten you out?
He said, oh no. I could have stood it if they'd done to do with me. Yes. Had they preached at me or tried to straighten me out.
Right. But they wouldn't eat with me. And they wouldn't fellowship with me. And they completely cut me off.
What happens when you're left alone? You sometimes happen in life.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. When you're left alone. Well, that's what Elijah's complaint was in Romans 11 and 3. He said, Lord, I am left alone. In other words, he's saying, I've been singled out. I'm the only one that's left. Everybody else is gone. Nobody else loves you or is living for you. And it looked like Elijah was. He was left alone. The other fellows that was around that God had reserved wasn't saying much. They wasn't outspoken. I tell you, when Elijah was left alone, the Lord worked in his life. When he is left alone at the brook, hallelujah, the ravens fed him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening. Hallelujah. Oh, bless his name. When he was left alone, thank God, at Mount Carmel and faced all the prophets of Baal, thank God, and he was by himself. God answered by fire. Hallelujah. But it seemed like in a nation where there wasn't but one voice and one man, God honored that one man. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Woo!
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
If you seem the only voice in your community, if you seem the only one in your family, if you seem the only one where you're working that's living for God, hey, friend, go ahead and pray on and preach on and live on. If you're the one left to shouting in your church, shout on. Hey. God will honor what you do.
That's right. Amen.
Oh, he honored this man. And it looked like by the voice of this one man, thank God, God turned the nation back to him. For when the fire fell, they bowed and said, the Lord, He is the God, the Lord.
Right.
He is the God of Elijah. Man, God will honor you, even though you're left alone tonight. I want to say to you, to approach us is more of that leaving alone business. Amen. Well, I'm glad when the others leave you alone. Hallelujah. Answer in your behalf. Paul, he was left alone. Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16. He said, at my first answer, no man stood with me. All men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. That's what he's writing to the young preacher. At my first answer, thank God, when I was on trial, when I was, thank God, standing in defense of the gospel. Amen. Hallelujah. He said, no man stood with me. Them that had been my companions, them that had stood, they all forsook me.
Amen.
Everybody fled. Nobody was there. I was left alone.
Right.
He it bothered him, but he said, I pray the Lord won't lay this to their charge. But in verse 17, he said, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all Gentiles might hear. I'm glad, thank God, tonight, when others, I leave you alone, there's a God. Hallelujah. That'll stand by you. Psalms 27 and 10 said, when mother and father forsake me, hallelujah, back alone, guess what? Then the Lord lift me
up. Yes, sir. Yes.
Him tonight. Hallelujah. I'm thankful when you're left alone. And there's so many other scriptures tonight. There's so many individuals tonight in the Bible that were left alone. I haven't got time to mention them all. I'm thankful He will take us up.
Amen.
When Joshua stood, thank God, by the wall of Jericho, after he'd sent the two spies in, and he realized that the heart of the people was melted, yet he didn't know how to take Jericho. He didn't know how to overcome, thank God, the fortified walls of Jericho. But as he stood there, looking up at the situation, the Lord stood by him that night. Hallelujah. And the old preacher preached, thank God, from that text, and said, He's always standing. And there was no sun or moon or stars, and they hadn't eaten for 14 days. He stood up and said, hey God, the Lord, hallelujah, sent His angel and stood beside me this night. Oh my. When you're left alone. Left alone with God. Things happened to Jacob, to Daniel, to John, and even this woman taken in adultery. Have you ever been alone with Him? When others leave you alone, it's good to know the Lord
will stand with you.
That's right.
Yeah.
Amen.
What encouragement tonight.
Yeah.
See, just a minute. I'm getting away fast. See, just a minute when alone are left. I say, when a child is left to itself, there's problems. Proverbs 29, verse 15. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. And so when a child is left alone or left to themselves, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it far from them.
Right. Yes, sir.
And that is right. That's Bible.
Yes, sir.
Regard what Dr. Spock says or anybody else that wants to talk, the Bible is right.
Yes, it is.
It is right tonight.
Amen.
And a child left to itself will eventually bring its mother shame. That's what this Bible says. And so we cannot leave a child to itself. One of the elder preachers that held me when I was a baby, my wife and I were married and our children came along, I never forget him looking at me and saying, "The Lord's give you that child, but now you got to do the raising. It didn't come with all it needs to know. You have to teach it and train it."
Right.
And that's right.
Amen.
You can't leave a child unto itself. Amen. And the key to parenting is to be able to break the wheel without breaking the spirit.
Amen.
That's a fine line, but it can be done.
Yes.
You don't want to break the spirit of a child, but you must break the will of a child. For if you don't break the will of a child, somebody will have to break the will of a child.
Right.
If the parent doesn't break the will of a child, then somebody else in authority will have to break the will of the child. School teacher, the law officer, the judge, amen.
Right.
The prisons, somebody will have to do it,
yes,
amen.
Sir.
That wild crowd to run with, somebody going to break their will if you don't break it. And if you don't break it before they get six, they'll break you before they get 16. I believe
amen.
That's right.
Amen.
And when you're left to yourself, then I want to say, self without conscience. Conscience is God-given. A conscience of an individual is God-given. And I believe the conscience can be molded and developed by a person's raising. Brain. Man. And I know this. I know this. You can walk over your conscience. But you better thank God for a conscience.
Yes, sir.
Hear me, friend. Men and women did not have a conscience. And this is what's happened in America. Their conscience has been seared. Their conscience has been, my friend, taken away. Oh, no conscience today. It's gone. That's why they can do unspeakable acts. That's why they can do things that are horrendous and beyond what animals would do because they lost their conscience.
Right.
Listen to me.
Amen.
Oh, conscience is given to keep man in check. Thank God. And to hold man back. Oh, God, help us. And no man is as bad as he could be if it was not for his conscience.
Amen.
And that conscience, the first thing need to be instilled in the conscience of an individual is the fear of God.
Yes, sir.
For the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge and of wisdom.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And if there is no fear of God, there can be no salvation.
That's right.
If there is no fear of God, then you're not afraid to mistreat your neighbor or anybody else.
That's
isn't that
right?
Amen. That's exactly right. The fear of God. Our nation, for the most part, has lost its fear of God.
Amen.
Mind you, because God has not let judgment fall. Hey, God, my friend, in a general manner. Hey, God, so without question we can say it's God. That does not mean He's not going to judge us.
Amen.
Conscience can either excuse. Careful, you use your conscience to excuse you. And when you're left alone without conscience, what's bad? Void of conscience. There are people that are that way.
Yeah.
Reprobate. They have no sense of right nor wrong.
Right.
Amen. Everything becomes right.
Right.
Lord, help. It's time to quit and I need to preach, I guess.
Amen.
Hear me tonight. God help. A person's conscience is void. That sees no difference in adults involved. Thank God. in physical activity. And then when they say, it's all right for a young child, there's no difference.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Dr. Quattle. Void of conscience. When two men and two women, thank God, my friend, act like a man and a woman.
Amen.
Void of conscience.
That's right.
Somebody's void of conscience when they take a young child and think nothing about it. God help us.
Amen.
Man.
Amen.
Oh, and love to reduce, thank God, the age of consent. Hallelujah. God help us.
Amen.
Of conscience.
Amen.
That's right. God help. Many of the practitioners, doctors and nurses that perform abortions have become void of conscience. Well, sometimes those that they perform that abortion on, had the young lady, that mother, and a tight situation can be talked into it. And maybe didn't have the right judgment at the time, but I'm telling you, thank God, when they do it for the love of money, thank God, and turn it out like a meal, something's wrong.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Oh,
help us.
Yes, sir.
Amen. So you can be void, thank God, of a moral conscience. You can be void of a spiritual conscience as well.
Right.
Social conscience. It's possible to man. That's when God leads you alone. After yourself. What about conviction? And for God, we don't have any hope. To yourself. Don't ask y'all tonight. Don't ask you tonight. Don't talk to me while I'm preaching, but after church, answer this question. How many of y'all, where would you be tonight had you just been left to do what you was doing? You sat on a church pew like I did. Raised as some officer's child in the church. But my Lord, a feel of self-righteousness and a thought that you could go to heaven simply because you was raised like you were. Amen. And knew how to, thank God, emulate or imitate what everybody else was doing.
Right.
And he could have left me there.
Yes, sir.
He wasn't on a church pew. Some of you were on that broad road. I mean, you was out there running wide open. I got at a breakneck speed and didn't have time for God or a church or a Bible or nothing else. Right. Kicking up your heels, living it up. And if God had left you alone, you'd have went at a breakneck speed towards hell tonight. But aren't you glad He brought conviction? And God, He came to where you were there. And with cords of love, and God brought you to a place of repentance. Amen. Hallelujah. Been doing that for you. You're left to yourself without conviction, you'll die lost.
You're
right. Nobody come to Jesus except the Father which sent Him.
Amen.
Draws Him. Hallelujah. My, when you're left alone with God, when you're left alone by others, when you're left to yourself. And I'm going to say this, I'm through. And I done touched on a little bit. When God leaves you alone. Got some of you here tonight, in your dealings with God in time past, in your rebellion, either to be saved or to serve God like the place He called you, you probably said to God, leave me alone. You better be thankful He didn't. You better be thankful God didn't leave you alone.
Amen.
For if God ever leaves you alone, you're in trouble.
Amen.
Amen. The world leaves you alone and God takes you up, you're still all right. You're in the majority. But if the world embraces you and God leaves you alone, you're in trouble tonight.
Yes.
No hope for you. When God leaves you alone. Sad tonight. Isn't it sad? There's an old preacher in the church where I'm a member at tonight. He's in heaven tonight. But I used to love to hear him testify. And he'd say, if you're one of God's young'uns, He'll turn the world upside down before He turns loose you. Boy, it's a blessing tonight. God let Israel alone. In 1 Samuel chapter 4, Eli was priest. Hophni and Phinehas were his sons. And they were in battle against the Philistines. Of course, eyes had waxed dim. The lamp of God is about to go out in the temple.
That's right.
There at Shiloh, or the tabernacle at Shiloh.
Right.
Hophni and Phinehas was taking the Lord's offering and eating it for themselves. And committing adultery with the women that came there to offer sacrifices. And Eli did not reprove them.
You're right.
And so they're fighting the Philistines, and they lost the first battle. And said, tell you what we do. Let's go get the Ark of the Lord. Let's go get the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of Testimony that God gave Moses. And let's bring that, and God will fight for us, and God will be with us. And they brought it up, and the Bible said in 1 Samuel 4 and verse 5, when they brought the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord into the camp, Israel shouted with a great shout so that the earth rang again. It echoed. Down the hills and the hollers and across the valleys and over the mountain. Thank God that the camp of Israel had the Ark of the Covenant. Problem was, they had the symbol, but they didn't have God. He left them alone. And the Philistines were told by their, thank God, their leaders to quit and fight like men. The Ark of the Covenant had come in, and they arose and slew 30,000 of the Israelites. And they took the Ark of the Covenant. Amen. Phinehas, his wife, was giving birth unto a child at the time this battle took place. And she died in childbirth. And when the child was born, the nurse called it Ichabod, for she saw. Sad today that so many places have a song, have a form, but God's left them. Like Samson that arose and shook himself and wist not that the Lord had left him alone or departed from him.
Amen.
Here Israel shouted. Here Israel had the symbol of God's presence, but God had left them alone. God leaves you. Just the earth, walk the streets of Jerusalem and preach to them. They went out one day and overlooked the city. And here's what he said. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killeth the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how oft will not gather thee together as a hen doth her wings. Not your house left unto you desolate. And verily I say unto you, shall not see me until the time come when you shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. He left alone. All tonight, there's one thing you don't want God to do,
and
that's leave you alone.
That's right.
To be left alone with him can bring blessing. Bring joy, can bring forgiveness. Our hymn tonight brings damnation and destruction. I wonder where you're at tonight in your life, in your journey with God. Are you alone tonight by others? Are you alone because of your stand for the Lord and the life that you immolate? Or the Lord will lift you up. In due time, He will pay you a visit and remind you that you are His. Amen. You're unsaved, I wonder would you come to Him tonight? If you're not where you need to be, would you come to Him tonight? Or if you need to pray about some matter in your life that you've been battling over and being left out by family, by friends, by co-workers, by even church folk, why don't you come tonight? Let's stand, please. The message is yours. Pray tonight. Why don't you come? Oh, tonight, would you come? Get alone with Him tonight. Do as Jacob did. Hold to him until the blessing comes. Don't let him go. What about it?
Draw closer to me.
When you're left alone,
leave this world behind.
Him to wrestle with you.
In me you will find. For whatever
to show you great mighty faith
it takes
that you know
draw closer to you, Lord. That's what
Him to display His love, wrap His love around
to do.
For Him to lift you up.
For whatever it takes.
For Him to set you free. Accusing tongues may approach you to Him, but oh, it's not bad when you're left alone with Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, bless His name.
Take my houses and lands.
Boy, that all the pointing fingers and the accusing lying tongues would lead us all. left alone with Him.
For I'm placing my whole life in Your hands. And should You call me,
could the evil others wish to do to us,
to
would run us to Him. What a difference it makes in our lives. As you repented and looked to Him as Lord, you found out He is your Savior. He is your Redeemer.